This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You feeling lean?
Lean and efficient, I believe, is how I feel today.
Yeah, after putting on the COVID-19 15 pounds or whatever it is, I need to get lean and efficient here.
Speak for yourself, pal. I've been a dad running machine during quarantine. I don't know that a day has gone by where I haven't gotten my calories burned. Come on now.
Well, it's not too late. I'm getting back at it, but you know, I did go through a whole IPA phase this spring. So,
welcome in. You're in the sports bar after hours. I'm Mike Danger. He's Gene Battaglia. ESPNRochester.com is our home online, the radio.com app on your mobile device, and wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts. And what an interesting 48 hours it has been, Gino. Yesterday, I apologize. I took the time yesterday to have Lance Lysowski join us here in the sports bar just to vent, essentially, just to vent for, you know, a good solid 30-plus minutes about everything that has happened with the Buffalo Sabres organization and Terry and Kim Pegula here over the last 48 hours. I want to make sure you have plenty of space and time here this evening to get your thoughts out there, because we didn't have you on last night. I will say this, and I got into an exchange on Twitter with one of our radio.com sports sister station personalities, Jeremy White, who's a friend of the show. And I you know, Jeremy is somebody I respect and admire from afar. And I made a snarky comment to the extent of, be careful what you wish for. I mean, 3 weeks ago, we were basically told by ownership that you know, Jason Bottrell was going to stick around and that they know more than we, the fans, do. And when I meant to say, you know, what I said, be careful what you wish for, fans, it was basically a, hey, 24 hours ago, you probably felt better about the situation than you do right now. But the situation, whether it's Jason Bottrell or Kevin Adams, it really is right now, it just looks like dysfunction from the very top. And as fans, we all, I believe, deserve better than what we've gotten out of the Pegulas in terms of their ownership of the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, there's no question. And I'll start. And by the way, Lance was great. And he doesn't have the answers. We don't have all the answers.
None of it makes sense. So much of it just doesn't add up.
Let me ask you this. Can we surmise this is what happened? The Pegulas meeting with whoever, you have to slash costs. Jason, we need you to slash costs. And maybe it was a big ask. No, I'm not comfortable doing that. Well, then that's your job. Hey, Kevin, are you comfortable doing that? Great, come on down. Because I'll tell you what, if you wanted to make the change from Jason Bottrell to a new GM, fine. Jason Bottrell in his 3 years wasn't good. You and I both agreed, with the situation being what it was when we all went away in March, that it didn't seem right to let Jason Bottrell go with this situation. I thought it was going to save his job. And it was kind of clumsily worded, the way Kim Pegula is saying fans don't understand the inner workings. Okay, well, fine. That was the play. What changed in between now and then? Well, if you decided to move on from Jason Bottrell, you sure as hell better conduct a real GM search. Take your time. You have all the time in the world here, okay? We're not having any hockey maybe till August. We're not having any Sabres hockey till what? December? Maybe? Probably January? Who the heck knows? You had time to talk to the Shiros and the Drurys and whoever you wanted to talk to. This was your time. But you know what? They're exhausted. They're done with it. To me, Danger, and I will draw this analogy. Terry Pegula, you are Peter Angelos. Peter Angelos, the Baltimore lawyer who grew up loving the Orioles and bought the team and threw a lot of money. And yeah, they had some fun times, I'm sure. And in fact, probably the Orioles had more success than the Sabres ever did. But at some point, Angelos, and he was quoted, said, I am just tired of these players. I'm tired of everything. You know what? He's a 90-year-old man. He ran that franchise into the ground, and nobody goes to the games. The Orioles were once a model franchise in baseball. Now they're a joke. I don't know if the Sabres ever were the model franchise, but I can tell you what, they're a joke. Just to hand the keys over to Kevin Adams, and it's really not fair to Kevin Adams, I guess, but he knows what he's getting into, okay? You should have, at the bare minimum, even if you thought Adams was your guy, take the time to talk to others around the league and pick their brains. This is how you get better. But it seems like there was no interest in doing that whatsoever. So to me, it was very fitting. And the analogy to the Cleveland Browns and dysfunction, there is no more dysfunctional organization in hockey than the Buffalo Sabres. What about the Ottawa Senators? Well, the Ottawa Senators had a plan. It wasn't very savory, okay. Melnick, not really a interesting owner, but you know what? He didn't exactly lie to his fan base. And I think that there's this, we know more than you to the Pegulas. I think also, Danger, there's another angle to explore here. The finances of the Pegulas. Why?
There you go.
Make this move. Why? Yeah. Why? What is going on? Is this a disease that's going to jump over to the Buffalo Bills? I tip my cap to Matthew Fairburn for asking Terry Pegula that question yesterday, because if you're a Buffalo Bills fan who's like, Sabres not our problem, dangerous, does that disease at some point make its way over to One Bills Drive?
I don't think so. I think a big part of this is you're not playing in the postseason, so you've lost some revenue there. I think a big part of this is you don't know when fans are going to be back in your arena. And right now, you know, if I'm a business owner and I'm sinking and I see a bottom line that is less than savory, and that's probably what they're looking at with the Buffalo Sabres, you're looking for ways to cut, and the easiest way to do that is by eliminating bodies. The number one expense for any employer are the people that it employs. And that's exactly what the Pegulas did on the hockey side of their operation. Now, on the football side of their operation, there's still a lot of unknown. And, you know, we don't know whether or not there'll be fans in the stands or not. We don't know what kind of revenue will be generated in the 2020 NFL season if everything goes off without a hitch. But we do know this. We do know that somewhere down the road, whether it's renovations or a new downtown stadium or a new stadium in Orchard Park, there's going to be a very, very hefty price tag attached and a very hefty expense attached to the Buffalo Bills. And I think the Pegulas understand that, know where their bread is being buttered right now. I mean, let's face it, an NFL owner has the potential to make a lot more revenue than an NHL owner. And I don't know that their eye is off of the Sabres entirely. I just think that the Sabres, for them, you know, the biggest issue I have, and you mentioned it, the idea that you wouldn't kick the tires on any other candidates. And listen, you know, the Sabres are a laughingstock right now. Good luck getting free agents to buy in and believe that you're going to be a contender, that you're going to be playing for Stanley Cups. Good luck trying to get another GM or even a first-time GM to come in and look at the operation and be like, yeah, I mean, you were able to, at least Jason Bottrell had the experience of a winning organization in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kevin Adams is, from what I can see in one day, a yes man. He's a hatchet man. Hey, you're going to do the unsavory thing that Jason Bottrell didn't want to do. Namely, you're going to fire everybody in your staff, and you're going to fire everybody in Rochester, and we're going to build it back up from the ground and do it more lean and more efficiently and with less overhead and less salary. I mean, let's face it, Randy Sexton probably made a hefty salary with the Buffalo Sabres, given his background in the NHL. Those are the kind of moves that Jason Bottrell, as a man of character, is going to be like, yeah, you know what? I mean, this is what I signed up for, and now you're reneging on what I signed up for. I need to put myself in a position where I can win. And I know I've made mistakes, and I'm going to learn from those mistakes. And I believe Jason Bottrell, somewhere down the road, we're going to hear that name again. It's going to pop up again. I don't know that he gets a second chance as an NHL GM, but he's going to have success. I believe in Jason Bottrell. I believe in Chris Taylor. I say I believe in Jason Bottrell. A lot of Sabres fans are going to be like, what are you, crazy? What are you? No, I really do. I mean, like, seems like a very solid individual, a guy that has integrity, a guy that has value and values. And I feel the same way about Chris Taylor. I feel the same way about Randy Sexton. Were they able to win in this situation? Well, in Buffalo, no. In Rochester, yes. And if there's a fault to the Jason Bottrell era, it's that, you know, while Rochester got back to where they needed to be, he wasn't able to put it all together and have his long-term plan flush out in Buffalo. But I look at the business side of all of this, and you brought up the finances. That to me is what takes precedent right now for the Pegulas over winning. It's a healthy bottom line, and the moves that you made in the last 48 hours for the Buffalo Sabres all lead to that. Now you have the opportunity to bring in younger, newer, cheaper blood into your organization, and potentially better, potentially, if you do your homework and you hire the right guys, potentially. And, you know, the emotion of everything that's gone on will die away. And the more we hear Kevin Adams, maybe the more we start to understand, like, what the wisdom is behind the move that was made yesterday. But right now, I think it's still a little bit raw. I think hearing Kevin Adams this morning on our radio.com sports sister station, WGR in Buffalo, talking about how the goal in Rochester is going to be development, it kind of stings a little bit. It's like, hey, you've been paying attention, right? Because they have been developing. They have been winning. The only knock I think you could probably say about the Amerks is if they weren't developing guys enough because they had the veteran guys playing late and solid minutes trying to actually, I don't know, win games. I mean, creating a winning culture is important to somebody's development, is it not? I mean, look at the negativity that exists in the Sabres locker room. That's something that's going to be very hard to turn around unless the team finds a way to start winning.
Yeah, I don't know if Jason Bottrell, because of the missed first rounders, and Dylan Cousins, who knows? And that's part of the unfortunate thing, is that you make these picks and GMs don't have a long shelf life. But because of some of those big misses, I don't know if he ever gets another shot again. But I think what happened here in the last 48 hours with Jason Bottrell, and this is the way we think it went down, standing up to the Pegulas and saying, no, I'm not going to do this. I think that writes a nice ending for him here in Buffalo, and that will help him land another job, because that shows that, yeah, he's a stand-up guy. Here's a problem I have with the Pegulas and how they're managing the Sabres right now. If you want to become a major league owner, whatever sport, understand that it's a public trust in kind of a way, all right? You don't go into this expecting to make huge profits. It should be something that drives attention to another business of yours. And for the Pegulas, I thought they were on the right track with the development around the arena and that sort of thing. But to just gut, and it's a big PR nightmare for whoever has to manage that about the messaging and trying to get the fan base. And let's just take Rochester, for instance. You cannot give me any explanation. I've yet to hear one. Why you would let Chris Taylor go? Other than the fact that, you know what, we could save a little bit of money between now and whenever the Amherst season starts up. Thank you, coach. Here's your severance. Good luck to you. Chris Taylor will hook on with another franchise, even if that's an AHL coach, but I truly believe, Danger, and you and I said this last year, he's on a track to be an NHL head coach. And we've seen this other times in Amherst history. We saw Mike Keenan never get the call up to Buffalo, said, you know what, I'm out of here, won a Stanley Cup. We saw John Tortorella, he won a Calder Cup in Rochester. Somehow he never got the opportunity in Buffalo, said, I'm out of here, wins the Stanley Cup then with Tampa Bay. I don't know if Chris Taylor will ever win the Stanley Cup, but I'll tell you this. He's going to get another shot in the NHL someday. He was on the bench this past year. Okay, remember that?
Yeah.
And then came back to Rochester. So to me, and you could say that's emotion or anything. Nah, you know, and you and Lance kind of talked a little bit about how lines blur in this business. Chris Taylor, he's one of us. He you know, played for the well over a decade of experience between being a player and being a coach with the Amherst. He's a Rochesterian. And just to cap him in cold blood like that, I'm not going to forget that. And if you're an Amherst season ticket holder, you have every right to be pissed about that move.
Well, I think that fans, general sports fans in Rochester were already struggling to get enthusiastic about the Rochester Americans, even though the team was winning. I mean, let's face it, it's 2020, and there are plenty of options available for your entertainment dollar and your time. And going to the arena might not be number one on your priority list, but the Amherst were trending in the right direction. They were winning games. They were a playoff team. They were on their way to being a playoff team again. And a move like this, gutting the coaching staff and now reintroducing a new staff to a fan base, how do you get this fan base enthusiastic or re-enthused about the organization? I mean, there's going to be some talent here in Rochester again the next time that they do indeed hit the ice. But it sure seems to me like the emphasis is going to be less about winning games and more about getting the youth development going a little bit more than what Chris Taylor had going on here. And Taylor wanted to win games. That's part of the culture of development, winning games, and you saw it. And every
wow,
every player that
games.
We talked to, wow. Gino, that came down from Buffalo, Tage Thompson, you know, Casey Mittelstadt, any of those guys, they all mentioned it. The difference in culture between Buffalo and Rochester. And that difference is one team was winning games, the other team wasn't.
Well, and to your point of, you know, I was in town in 1987 when, you know, the Amherst won the cup and I went to the parade. It was awesome. Yes, minor league sports doesn't hold that same portion on the sports ladder, if you will. But in terms of the Amherst and the Red Wings, winning is vital to the Rochester Americans as far as the experience. It's not for the Red Wings. And maybe if there's a way that the Amherst can figure this out here locally, that you go to a Red Wing game, it's about the food and it's about the fireworks and whatever promotion and whatever mascot and everything else that goes into it. No, I mean, the concessions at the Blue Cross Arena, not good. The experience, not good. And
well,
hopefully maybe we get to a better point on that.
Yeah,
but
to be fair, there are renovations happening right now, and we know that that's all part of the city's Rock the Riverway project, that there are renovations happening right now to the restrooms and to other, you know, the concession stand will be a little bit, the concession area will be a little bit wider, a little bit bigger, that there will be actual places to sit instead of just grabbing your food and going back to your seat. So I'm excited and enthusiastic about those changes to the arena that hasn't really seen any changes in well over 20 years now. So that is something that I think fans can get excited about. And imagine the surge that you could have had knowing that you had a consistent winning team in that barn year in and year out, led by a guy like Chris Taylor. Now, well, it's back to the drawing board, and I don't really know what we get out of whoever they decide to bring in to run the organization.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, can we speculate the days of bringing in your Gilmores and your Redmonds, those AHL guys that are, they're not going to get the call up to the Sabres. Gilmore actually did, but my point being, spending money earmarked for Rochester, well, heck, if you just blew out a very good coach and a very good GM, why would you still, yeah, no, everything is cost cutting at this point. I just bring it back to, and I mean, I think we're allowed to wonder what is the big overall plan here for the Pegulas if they are telling their Sabre fan base what they're telling them here in this last week. And it's not emotional danger. It is just so puzzling why they made these moves. It almost felt impulsive. You know, the fact that you just came to this conclusion that you needed to cut costs. What changed between May 26th, yeah, when Kim Pegula made her comments and yesterday. What happened in the last 2 weeks? I would love to know the answer.
If we're allowed to speculate, I think it's what we've been saying all along, that you know, it was time for some tough choices, some cost-cutting measures. Jason Bottrell probably wasn't on board with that. And by the way, I mean, there are little reports around NHL circles circulating that there are a bunch of things that Jason Bottrell didn't really want to do. The Jack Eichel contract, the Jeff Skinner contract, both a couple of contracts that didn't really fit with Jason Bottrell's long-term plan and vision for the team. But the owner stepped in and said, no, this is what we're going to do. These are players we're going to take care of against Jason Bottrell's wishes. Those are whispers around league circles. And if you want to believe that, then I got to think, yeah, Jason Bottrell probably just grew very frustrated with meddlesome owners that were preventing him from running the organization the way he thought it needed to be run. I'm not saying he deserved that, because he did whiff on a lot of the decisions that he made. Jack Eichel is a great player. While we're talking about Jack Eichel, and I didn't bring this up with Lance, and I know it's blasphemous to even suggest it, but, you know, new GM coming in here, new GM that's trying to make a splash. I mean, is everything up for debate? Jack Eichel is still untouchable, yes?
Without question, but I'm wondering, a lot of people are wondering, at what point does Jack Eichel say, hey, that's enough. I think I want out of here. I mean, we saw lesser players.
He's pretty close, isn't he? I mean, his end of season comments were essentially like, this is it. I've had it. Like, this enough with the losing. And I got to imagine that those comments also didn't bode well with ownership and might have had something to do with the decision to relieve Jason Bottrell of his duties yesterday.
I've seen people kind of say that it was Eichel's comments, but I don't know that to be true. And I would lean that no, that wasn't a big factor in it. But the idea that you have a top 10 talent in this league and you haven't made the playoffs, you could say you came close. But by the way, too, and somebody pointed this out, on the day everything shut down, it was a Thursday. The Sabres were already in Montreal in the afternoon. Nope, no games. We're on pause, they called it at the time. Okay. If the Sabres beat Montreal, that game comes off that night. That's 2 points. The Sabres then would have been the last team in this playoff format. Are you kidding me? I mean, like, literally, are you, like, it came down to one game, because if the Sabres were in the postseason in this wacky formula that they're going to try to roll out later this summer, to me, it's another head crit, because you're not firing Jason Bottrell if the team is waiting for the postseason. So I think the Pegulas, where you say emotion for fans and everything else, to me, it seems like they're the ones acting on emotion here.
Yeah, you just get the impression they're just not very good owners. I mean, that bottom line, you know, given what we know of their tenure with the Sabres, and, you know, their time with the Bills, somehow they managed to find and get it right with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. But if you're Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott and you see how this organization is run, aren't you just rolling your eyes a little bit and thinking to yourself, like, yeah, leave us alone. We're going to be fine if you leave us alone. Let us handle this. Stay out of it and we'll be fine. The second you start meddling with us, that's when we're going to have problems on the football side of things.
Yeah, there was, Tim Graham of The Athletic wrote this is going back a few months, about how he talked to ex-PSE employees, because the first layoff, that was to 716 and to their ad agency, everything else. And so a lot of people were willing to talk about their experiences. And there was one unnamed Buffalo Bills executive that told Graham that stuff had better not come over here. Like, they want the PSE folks away from one Bills drive. Yeah. So the whole one Buffalo, the Pegulas would be better to sell the Sabres. Honestly. Like, look, if that's what this is all about, I mean, and you wonder if the phone does ring at some point and there is an offer that hey,
never happened.
Because Well, isn't this something you would do though in advance of that? What, like you would just massively cut expenses at some point in advance?
I think the
sale?
Expenses and the looking for savings right now, running lean the way a lot of businesses are during a pandemic. But not only that, recognizing that you're dealing with a pandemic and a down economy at a time when it, in the next couple of years the heat is going to be turned up on you having to make a move with your stadium. And I think that is a big part of this as well. We talk about it all the time. Just follow the money, Gino. The money's not in the team. The money is in the stadium. And look, I love that they say you know, keep that out of here. I mean, let's face it, if you're Terry and Kim Pegula, recognize what it is. The Buffalo Bills bring home the bacon and the Buffalo Sabres bring home the bacos.
Yeah, and even more to my point, what are you dealing with? The NHL, especially like 15 years ago, it was a glorified pyramid scheme. It really was. You don't make money on these teams in the National Hockey League. You make money because you buy in and you sell higher. Now, I don't know anybody that's going to sell higher for whatever Terry Pegula bought the Buffalo Sabres for, but if you bundle it all up, I don't know. And if you're in need of cash at some point, I know you and others are saying no, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't surprise me.
I don't know, Gino. A lot of what we hear from Terry and Kim Pegula seems very, at least to my observation, just feels very ego-driven. And it's a very exclusive club to be a part of. You're an NHL owner. You're an NFL owner. You're fueling your super yacht. It's a very exclusive club. And I don't know that that's something that they want to relinquish their card to just yet. Just yet. I really don't. I think, you know, when you heard Kim Pegula last year and talking about the stadium say, hey, we just don't have $4 billion laying around. Yes, that is true. You don't. But you're going to have to come up with some kind of plan, as the NFL is notorious for doing. They're going to turn up the heat, and your team is expected to win this year. If the Bills are, once again, a playoff team and maybe advance past the opening weekend of the NFL playoffs this season, the noise is going to get louder and louder for you, and you'll have an argument to be made about building or renovating a stadium for the Buffalo Bills.
Yes and no.
That was always the plan.
Yes, you're right. Louder and louder. Every municipality in the world right now is going to have not a budget problem, a budget crisis.
Yes. Okay? No, when I talk about it getting louder, I'm not talking about from the fans. I'm talking about from the actual league owners, the NFL itself.
Well, in order for this story to advance to that point, you need leverage. And I don't see another leverage city coming in. You always had Los Angeles sitting out there. You always had Toronto. Who is building the palace outside of Buffalo? Who is going to, unless, you know, so again, I don't want to get off track here, but let me just throw this idea out at you. Wouldn't now be the time to plan this out? You have interest rates at record low levels. If the league, nobody has that money lying around. Nobody. You got to finance it. You got to, you know, buy everything else. It's finances way above our heads. But I do know this, that this is a time where it's a great time to borrow money, okay? That you can finance things. If you are in a 30-year mortgage, go refinance your house right now, okay? Because, look, this is the time you make those moves, okay? The government is telling you, go borrow money right now. So if the Buffalo Bills, if the Pegulas were going to make this move and they've got to invest some of their own money and they've got to leverage part of their future, well, I don't know how their interest rates are going to look in 2021, but I can tell you this, it'd be shocking if they were any lower than they are right now.
I got to check the commodities here and see what the price of steel is doing, because I think that's what this all comes down. It's all about the price of steel, Gene. It's always about the price of steel.
It is. Yeah, it's crazy how high it's been. Yeah.
Gino, it's great hearing your voice. I'm glad we were able to catch up. Is there anything else on your mind? Anything else that you need to get off your chest before we part ways here in the sports bar after hours?
Oh, hey, we're going to have baseball. Yay. Yay. You and I had a very interesting, you brought up the MLS.
Yeah. Everybody takes it so seriously. It's just a take. And by the way, like, you don't have to agree with it, and I don't necessarily want to see it happen, but baseball keeps doing it to themselves. Eventually, Major League Soccer is going to be more popular in America than Major League Baseball. And who wants to see that? I don't, but it's going to happen.
No, Major League Soccer. The league itself will never be. The sport, yes. Here's what I know about our country, okay? We like the best of things, okay? We do, all right? And especially when it comes to sports. Football is our sport, the best. Basketball, we invented it, the best in the world. Hockey, North America, best in the world. Baseball, we invented it. Others like Japan have followed, best in the world. Soccer, we like the best in the world. And MLS ain't that, okay? It's got a long way to go. So, yes, you'll have pockets, and yes, it's kind of a regional thing. You can make the argument that Champions League and everything else, La Liga, that a younger audience with the world growing smaller the way it is and streaming and everything, that more fans of that age will be turned on. It was eye-opening to me, Danger. I told you the story 2 years ago. I'm in a bar in New York City. It's noon. Why is it packed? It wasn't packed for baseball. It was because FC Barcelona was playing. Yeah. Wow. That was eye-opening. But that's not MLS, okay? So, no,
we don't see it here. Here, we can't look beyond the horizon of our city limits. And in Rochester, we hear soccer and we think failure, because that's what soccer kind of became, because of a stadium that nobody wanted to go to and a team that people just stopped wanting to support. If you look in the markets, the emerging markets where the MLS has a foothold, it's stacked. Gene, in Atlanta, the MLS team sells more tickets than the Falcons. It shouldn't be that way, yet here we are. And I don't know if it's because it's a more affordable ticket. I don't know if it's because there's just a more of a fever for the sport there, or the atmosphere is different, or the entertainment value is different. I can't answer it, because I'm still always going to be a football fan over a soccer fan. I can't explain that, but that's what's happening, and it's happening in markets like Kansas City, markets like Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles. You know, these are, you know, there are Nashville, there are emerging markets that are growing. Look, it's going to come down to TV money. It always comes down to the bottom line, and follow the money. Baseball signing that big deal, that big TV deal with Turner, you know, makes it likely that baseball is going to remain, you know, in third place, fourth place, you know, somewhere in there. But soccer is emerging. You know, I've seen the graphs and the charts and the research projects that just kind of say that soccer fans and that, you know, fans of soccer enjoy it that much more than the other options that are available out there.
I know people, and you brought up, you know, beyond the city limits, that wouldn't give the Rhinos a fair shake because, that's minor league. I prefer World Cup. Okay, well, on the same level, though, I'll draw an analogy, okay? If I ask you, Danger, tell me about the Atlanta Falcons offense this year. Well, the Atlanta Falcons offense this year, Matt Ryan is going to have – it really comes down to Todd Gurley. Can Todd Gurley – you're going to have a take on it. Okay, tell me about the Atlanta whatever the heck their soccer team name is, because I don't even know. No, it's a local thing. It's not going to be translated. And if I don't care in Rochester, why would I sit down and turn that on? And I pointed this out on Twitter, okay? Add up all the TV dollars for MLS. It's, you know, it pales in comparison to baseball. But to your point, though, my point is that if we could, can we think bigger about soccer? Can we get a team in the Champions League? That now, if you had a Team USA of all-stars and we kind of grew and identified with that, and you put the team in, you know, in say two cities, and then you took on the world, and could the United States actually beat the world at its sport? And you didn't have to wait every 4 years for it.
I love the idea, but listen, there are a lot of things about my take that I will concede. One, I will concede that the U.S. has a long way to go when it comes to competing on the global stage in the sport. I will also listen to the argument, because it's true, that our best athletes don't play soccer. Our best athletes are playing basketball. They're playing football. But I do believe that a star or two, a compelling story or two, can change what you know about that league. And you might not know about Atlanta United right now, but a star on Atlanta United with a compelling story, somebody that you want to root for, it takes one Gretzky or one Jordan to change the fate of a league, and it becomes must-see TV. Now, there will be people that say, MLS has had that. They had Wayne Rooney, and they had David Beckham, and they had them all way, way past their prime, where you knew what you were getting. You knew the kind of player they were. You knew the kind of story that they were. They had made their millions already. I like the idea of somebody emerging, a player, a story, a charismatic kind of figure that you know MLS can make as the face of their league, and that do a better job of marketing your league. We complain about it with baseball all the time. They don't market their league. They don't market their stars. If MLS figures out a way to do that and they can do it effectively with the right players at the right time, then MLS can do what I'm suggesting that they can do within 15 years, be more popular than Major League Baseball.
What happened to Freddie Adu? Wasn't he supposed to be the guy they were propping up?
Everybody wants to talk about things from 20 years ago, and I get it. I'm not talking about 20 years ago. I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about now, and I'm talking about the next 15 years. I'm looking into the future. I'm looking into the crystal ball. And you could say, well, it's been said. You've been saying it from 20. Hello, guy from 20 years ago. Yes, I get it. But I'm looking at data today. I'm looking at what's happening right now. I watch the product on TV. It's a good TV product, by the way. Commercial-free action. You're not stopping down every 2 minutes or after every kickoff. It flows. It's exciting on TV. It's a good product on TV. Now, I'm not saying that it's a good enough product that it's going to make more money than baseball when it's time to renegotiate TV deals, but they're getting it together. They're on a lot of the networks they need to be on. They're on a lot of the streaming platforms they need to be on. And Gino, if you're into it, you're into it. And if you know, you know. And I'm telling you, if they can find a way to do a better job of marketing their stars than baseball and hockey, for that matter, have, then MLS will continue to rise.
Let me make this clear. That's your opinion?
Yes.
And now here's my opinion. It's a sucky, boring product that I could care less about. I love soccer. Give me the World Cup. Give me something. I don't care about the Columbus Crew.
Okay, so can I just say another thing, though, Gino? Because I hear what you're saying. And look, maybe I'm a little close to the flame. My daughter played it for 8+ years. I spent a lot of time on the sidelines. I spent a lot of time with a lot of soccer dads and soccer moms and coaches and fans of the game, and they won me over. And I watched Premier League on Saturday mornings, every Saturday morning. It became part of my routine because of my surroundings. You're a product of your environment, after all. You didn't go through that. And you know, I always... like, that was something I always loved. I loved being a part of that. I loved watching my kid play the sport. It was a sport that I didn't grow up playing. I didn't have a high school soccer team. My high school didn't have a boys or girls soccer team. So it wasn't something that I grew up around. It was something I kind of evolved and learned to like, you know, from watching my kid and being surrounded by other like-minded people. And like I said, you're a product of your environment. If you were to go to Kansas City, it would be very easy to find a lot of Sporting KC fans and you know, blend into that community, and next thing you know, you've got something that you know is a better experience than going to watch the Royals lose again. You know, I'm interested to watch how it all plays out. If baseball's coming back, then I'm really not, you know, I sent that tweet out at a time when baseball and the Players Association were still having their little Napoleon Dynamite bitch slap fight. And if they do return with the format that they're laying, you know, then I will say this about MLS. I do like MLS's return to play format. I think that's going to be compelling. If you're a soccer fan, you're going to watch that, and it's going to get your attention. I think it'll get some eyeballs.
Yeah, and I'll make this. You conceded some points. I will concede this point about baseball. Honk, honk, woo, woo, clown show. What a clown show this whole thing has been. I mean, honestly, you couldn't have done this 6 weeks ago. You couldn't. You could have owned sports on the 4th of July. Yes, a lot of us still would be indoors. A lot of us wouldn't have the opportunity to go to the fireworks. I don't know of any fireworks here in Rochester, but
go outside on any given night and you'll have fireworks in Rochester.
Yeah, yeah, in your neighborhood maybe. Yeah, Red Sox, Yankees, Giants, Dodgers, Cubs, Cardinals. You could have like had National Baseball Day. And now maybe it's late July. So, and by the way, what starts in late July? NFL training camps. Okay. Baseball is a sport for a lot of people. Yeah, you like it. What, football? Mm-hmm. Yeah. As soon as football comes along, and we don't know how that's all going to look. But yes, the way the stewards of baseball right now make me want to scream.
Yeah. Well, look, it'll be fun, assuming that we get some sort of action here. I mean, you know, from what I'm reading and what I'm seeing, and you don't really know what to believe or see anymore. But my hope is that we do have some action here with fans or without fans. I really care. I watched golf this weekend and I loved it. There were no fans. There were no spectators. But it was fun watching Gary Woodland just give his 25 pounds that he lost right to Bryson DeChambeau, who looked like a unit out there in Fort Worth. It was fun to see some live action that actually matters, that counts for something, that wasn't a charity or a made-for-TV event. And if I can enjoy golf, then that's just, you know, that's a morsel of an appetizer. Give me the real thing. Give me the main course. Give me a sizzling steak and potato, and I'm ready for it, Gino. I hope that things return to normal and that we have enough safety measures in place where we can get some of this action back in our lives.
Yeah, I mean, to me, in my mind, that normalcy NFL season. Can we have that? Okay, you want to get rid of the half of the preseason games? Fine. No one's going to argue, okay? But if we can have the full 16-game season, I would sign up for that right now.
Absolutely. All right, Gino, we're coming up on a good 40 minutes of pod here in the Sports Bar After Hours. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you. I hope you and yours are doing well here as we what are we saying here? Phase four, a week from Friday. I mean, you know, Governor Cuomo is going to stop with his daily briefings. Friday is his last daily briefing. I guess it's vacation season, or we've got this thing under control here in our state, Gino. I don't know.
I think, you know, some people, but I think a lot of us, you know, have done the right things here. And so we're doing the right things. We will get back to normal at some point.
Gene Battaglia there, Mike Danger here. You're in the Sports Bar After Hours. We appreciate you listening at ESPNRochester.com, on the radio.com app, and wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts. We're back again late in the week with more here in the Sports Bar After Hours on ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.